You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. It is September 14th, 2025. And I feel like every week I'm starting with what a week it was and what's ahead, but I'm just going to call it out. We are in troubling, volatile times. It is impacting the mood of so many. It is impacting people who don't follow politics. It's impacting our kids and our young adults. These are historic times and not for the right reasons. But yet here in Minnesota, we have a very divided state. We have a governor who's likely to announce he's running for re-election this coming week. We have the hints and the promise of a special session that don't offer any clear lane of solution, either the number of votes or the legislation that the House and the Senate and the governor may agree to. And I've really been thinking about the 2026 election and how it will shape up in Minnesota. And so I want to go to the suburbs this week, and I want to talk about the times we're in, gun control, school safety, the special session, the internal caucus dynamics. And so I've reached out to, and my guest will be Representative Danny Nadeau. He's a Republican from Maple Grove. He's a longtime political operator. He's run gubernatorial campaigns before he was a state rep. And Judy Seeberger, she's an attorney. She's a paramedic. She's a firefighter. She sits in a district that she won by less than a couple hundred votes. It's going to be a targeted district next year. And each of them bring a more moderate perspective to politics, a different tone, a different tenor. They are not flamethrowers, but yet they push back against their own parties sometimes or the interest groups within their parties. But both of them have to be thinking about the special session. They have to be thinking about their political futures. And they have to be thinking about how do we solve some of these very, very complex issues? The week that was is Governor Walz tiptoeing right up to the line and suggesting he'll run again. That was before the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Could that change his mind again? I think, you know, it could. Who would be his running mate and when might he announce his running mate? I have to keep reminding ourselves that we are over a year ahead of that election, and Minnesotans are tuned in, but they're not necessarily focused on an election next year. They're focused on the times we're in, the volatility of our politics, and the divide in this country. So when we come back, State Senator Judy Seeberger and Representative Danny Nadeau will join me. And we're going to have a conversation, a bipartisan conversation about the mood of their communities and the practicality of a special session. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning and welcome back to Sunday Take.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As I mentioned in the open, we're going to continue the bipartisan conversations this week. With me, I have Democratic Senator Judy Seeberger, Republican State Representative Danny Nadeau. And I want to just kind of kick off here with, a reflection of the last few months, the climate of the country, the climate of the state. And these two elected officials have both pushed back against some of the noise and harsh rhetoric of each of their parties. They're both from the suburbs and are from districts that aren't clear red or blue districts, but they view the district as representing their constituents. So thanks, both of you, for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Absolutely.
Senator Seeberger, I'll just start with you. Understanding the political climate that we're in, the week, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you guys had a caucus this week. I don't expect you to give me the details, but what's the mood of DFL senators in this environment post-annunciation, post the assassination of the Hortmans?
I think the mood of my colleagues in the DFL Senate mirrors the mood of my neighbors in my neighborhood, my friends that I see at the grocery store, kind of everybody. It's a heavy time. We're dealing with, I think, some tragedies and some incidents that just seem to compound one on another. And I think we're all sort of, we're sad, we're worried, we're wondering, how do we come together? How do we fix what seems to be broken? And that's, I don't know. I feel like everybody I've talked to is sort of feeling that same way.
Representative Nadeau, what's the mood of your neighbors? What are you talking about when you're at the grocery store or out in the community?
I think it's the same. Everybody, people are looking for immediate solutions to the political differences and that seeming connection to, the violence that's been occurring, especially in Minnesota this summer. And, and everybody's got their thoughts and ideas and opinions. But I think for the most part is people are looking at and saying, there's not going to be there isn't one. Even though I believe this, there probably is more to it than this. And honestly, I have so many people. I just came from a meeting this morning where, people are, I'm glad that I'm not in your guys' position right now, because the situation is difficult. And most people recognize that, that the solutions moving forward, that intelligent people are full of doubts about what do we do, understanding that there's not one solution to solving some of these very, very broad societal problems that we're seeing today.
Representative Nadeau, Danny, you've been around politics for a long time as a campaign operative, as a staffer, as a policy person. Now you're an elected official. So you know the activists, you know kind of the grassroots and where some of the harshest rhetoric comes, the deepest divide is generated from. Just can you share kind of where you see opportunity to bridge that gap or change that culture? Because that seems to amplify the, you know, the fringe or the more extreme voices when you talk about your neighbors and intelligent people finding intelligent solutions. It doesn't always feel that way, especially coming from those that are most partisan.
Yeah, I mean, I think from when you think about the strongest Republican activists, you know, and especially when we're talking about, you know, gun issues, gun control, Second Amendment rights, you know, I think the conversations that we need to talk about there are, you know, what are those, you know, what are those most prevalent, you know, forms of harm, and how do we address that in a realistic way? What's evidence? Is there evidence out there that suggests that restriction on long guns, assault rifles, for example, is there evidence to suggest that that's going to change, you know, the outcomes? And I think those are the bigger conversations that we need to hear. And overall, and it doesn't matter if you're a hardcore, you know, anti-gun control Democrat, Republican, independent, you know, it's that proverbial, you know, camel's nose under the tent flap. You know, if we give an inch, is that going to be harmful moving forward? You know, there's a lot of evidence out there. I mean, what is there? 10 states now with assault bans, and you know, they're all either there's injunctions filed. There, I think there's five in high level courts. The Supreme Court, I think, is going to probably take this issue up. And I think that there's a lot of fear in that. And also there's a big difference between, you know, Greater Minnesota and the Metro. I used to give a speech to Republican activists about if you're not more liberal, if you're not, you know, liberal, you know, move to the city and see how other people live. And I ended that speech talking about this concept of guns, you know, where in Greater Minnesota, people have them on their hip, people hunt with them, they see people in orange, they see people sitting in deer stands. It's part of their way of life. But if you come to the Metro and you see someone with a gun, it doesn't matter if they have a badge or not. There's this fear, there's something bad that's about to happen. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we're going to have at the legislature is this profound misperception of the other side.
Senator Seeberger, as you hear Danny talk about that and you think about your own caucus and trying to help your own caucus understand a purple district or a swing district like yours on guns or rhetoric, how do you talk to them about it, or what do they need to know more about from that perspective?
What I recognize is everybody comes at any issue, including this issue, from their own perspective, and certainly within my caucus, we sort of span the gamut of ideology when it comes to very progressive to the fairly moderate and very moderate folks like me. We are lucky within our caucus to be able to have these conversations, to listen to each other. I think it is hard, and I think this is the same whether we're talking about people within my caucus, reaching across the aisle, talking to my neighbor. We have to be able to listen with an open mind, and we have to be able to listen with the viewpoint that the person who maybe their views don't match your own is still coming from a good place. And I try to approach every conversation that way, whether it's with members of my own caucus, whether it's with my friends and colleagues across the aisle. I had a wonderful conversation a few days ago. I called Mark Johnson, the minority leader in the Senate, just to check in. We have a great relationship, and these are hard times. And I think just human to human sometimes reaching out and checking in goes a long way. We had a great conversation, and maybe we need a little more of that, both across the aisle, within our own caucus, outside of the world of politics. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I think you used the term human to human. I think that's one of the things that I know I look at on these moments and these weeks. And we've had a series of these weeks from Annunciation to the assassination of Charlie Cook. And so just staying there, let's peel back a layer and then we'll take a break and get to the special session. But peel back a layer. You both are elected officials. You're public officials. You're public. Your own safety, the emails you get, the social media rhetoric, the rage. How do you deal with that, Senator Seeberger? How do you kind of measure that? You're also, you're a EMT, a paramedic. You are out in the community. You're used to very, kind of chaotic situations. How do you find your calm in these times?
It's been a challenge. Prior to the assassination of the Hortmans and the shooting of the Hoffmans, I took all of the sort of vitriolic emails and feedback kind of with a grain of salt. Folks can say what's on their mind. That comes with the job when you're a politician and a public figure. But since June 14th, I'll be honest, I've been a little skittish. And some of the communications I receive raise a few more red flags than they did before June 14th. So that's been something I've been trying to navigate. Is this a new reality? Is this something that I need to examine further so I can get back to more of a baseline? I'm not really sure. I think we're all sort of in a new reality here, and I think the threats to public officials are very real, and I think a lot of us feel that way.
Representative Nadeau, you've been in and around this as a more moderate member, suburban member of your caucus. How do you view this? How do you cope with it? How do you kind of center yourself in these chaotic times?
I have a tendency to pull back a little bit. I'm a little bit older. I do have some experience working in politics prior to this. And I've been a I am a public employee. And I think some I rely on my faith. I rely on this idea that, that we need to do, we're called. I mean, I think that we're called to do, to step up in certain instances and try to have those conversations and extend grace to one another. And I think Senator Seeberger is right on. It is human to human. It's building relationships, and it's not just with people across the aisle. Sometimes it's people in your own caucus, and it's your own neighbors, and it's creating that space for people to express their fears and doubts, and listen. Politicians, we have a tendency to react and overreact and put ourselves in boxes, rather than just sitting back and listening sometimes to the concerns that people have. And I think if we approach this with a little bit more humility, if we as we move forward, we try to, we try to put everything on the table and we express that and, acknowledge to our friends and neighbors that, you know what, nobody has the answer. There's not one person, one party, one community. No one has one answer to this, but if we kind of keep our shoulders in and our legs moving, and try to do what we can, I think people are in that space where, they want to participate in that.
When we come back, I want to dig into the special session because as I do the math of a special session with the likely tie in the House, the idea of one seat difference, one vote difference in the Senate, it is moderates that likely are going to be able to find the path forward with the governor on a special session. And I want to talk to Senator Seeberger and Representative Nadeau about that. This is Sunday Take. We'll be right back after this. We are back on Sunday.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast.
An offer you can feast on.
sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Take. My guests are Senator Judy Seeberger, a Democrat from the Eastern Suburbs, and Representative Danny Nadeau. He's a state rep, Republican from the Northwest Suburbs. Before the break, we were just talking about human to human. One of the human dynamics of the next few weeks is trying to figure out a special session that the governor has clearly indicated he intends to call. There's some, you know, logistics about a pre-agreement. There's a broad range of topics that both parties want to lay out, from mental health to school security to gun control. Senator Seeberger, I'll just start with you. When you hear the governor talk about calling a special session, when you're with your colleagues, are there issues that you identify that are going to be tougher, either within the Senate, or do you see some common ground? And I'll also note that the Senate announced a working group this week on gun violence. And so, you know, there seems to be some pre-work starting in the next week before the special session. How do you see this kind of trajectory of trying to find some solutions?
The working group is a great place to start, and I have to commend Senator Latz and Senator Muhammad for bringing this together. Their interest in forming the working group was to get as many voices at the table as possible, to hear as many ideas as possible. It's bipartisan, and so I'm hopeful that something productive can come out of that we can work with. When we look at the math going into any special session that might occur, we really can't. I've been saying it all last session, and I've been saying it in the context of a potential special session. We can't do anything without each other. We're going to need to find common ground. We're going to need to work together. There is no one answer. If there was an easy solution, we would have done it already. We would have solved this problem. It's a big multifaceted problem that's going to take a multifaceted approach. And I'm hoping that we can come into any special session, if one is called, with that approach. What kind of a package can we put together that has broad bipartisan support? I don't know if we can solve the problem with a special session, but I am hopeful and I would be optimistic that perhaps we could start working on potential solutions or ways to address sort of the crisis that we see ourselves in right now.
Representative Nadeau, the House Republicans have put out an agenda. House math is you need the other side to pass anything when it's a tie. Where do you see common ground in the House between DFLers and Republicans?
You know, it's hard to see common ground right now. I mean, I think we did a great job in the last session, you know, where we were forced to come together. I mean, it was hard. I was on a number of conference committees, and it was hard to get there. And I think the special session and the way this is laid out is even more political than that. And so, once again, I agree with Senator Seeberger is that, and this is not going to be a House versus a Senate approach, in my opinion. If there is a special session called, and if it is, you know, going to be, you know, we're going to come out of it, there's going to have to be a solid working relationship, not just between, you know, House GOPers and DFLers, but it's going to have to be, you know, broader, greater Minnesota and Metro. It's going to have to be Senate and House. And it's going to be very difficult, I think, to try to do that in a special session. There's a lot of things that I believe need to be considered. Everything from what the House put out with what comes out of the Senate bipartisan gun crime work group. I think that it's. I just worry that there's going to be too much hyper-partisan focus without there being, this thoughtful approach that has community input.
Senator Seeberger, how do you see Senate Democrats looking at gun control in particular? You have some rural members, you have some urban members, and this is a place where the actual mechanics of a bill and getting the votes for a bill may be more challenging than the headlines or what we have to write about in political newsletters per se. How do you see kind of getting the mechanics around some of the gun issues and then the other considerations, whether it's school safety or mental health? Is it going to have to come from that working group in order, because that working group is bipartisan? Is that the thing that the Senate's probably going to need to see so that they could rally around it?
It's hard to say at this point. The first meeting of the working group is on Monday, the 15th, and I'm interested to see what comes out of that. From my perspective, I'm doing as much legwork as I possibly can with the understanding that if there is a special session, I want to come into it fully informed. I'm speaking to as many people in my district as I can. Their opinions run the gamut. So I had the opportunity to speak with a more progressive member a few days ago. We sat for 2 hours and kind of hashed through these issues. I'm meeting with a firearms expert to get their thoughts on it, just sort of doing informal polling around my workplace here as a paramedic and a firefighter, getting opinions and sort of trying to feel the pulse of my community and what their ideas are and becoming as fully informed as I possibly can if we do move into a special session.
Representative Nadeau, guns was not on the House Republican agenda, gun control. But you're in a district where I don't know the numbers, but an assault weapons ban, for instance, may be something that your constituents would be okay with, but maybe your party isn't. How do you see the gun issue playing within your caucus? Where do you stand? Have you talked to other more moderate members on, is there a compromise on gun issues from House Republicans?
It's hard to say right now, and I think it depends on what that is. I think what you're going to see being pushed by myself and anyone else that I can get is whatever we do has to be evidence informed. And there are states that have assault bans, for example, and remember how assault rifles are defined is super important. But I think that's where you're going to see, at least where I'm going to be coming from, and hopefully hopefully everyone will, is where is that evidence to suggest that what we can do is going to have if it's not going to have a profound effect, is it going to be a start? But I would say that starting with gun control in my caucus is not the starting place. Is it part of the discussion? Yes, it will be, because that's what this special session is going to be about. I mean, Democrats are going to drive that gun control discussion, and Republicans need to be able to step up and have that discussion alongside those things that we believe are also going to be playing a part. It's the behavioral threat assessments. It's increase and expansion of mental health access and services. It's those things that early interventions, there's not one thing that I think is going to solve this. And that's where I think that we need to have a package. And hopefully everyone will be able to have respectful discussions and we can make, again, it's the evidence-informed decisions.
As we start to wrap up here, I want to bring us back to the tone, the tenor Obviously, I'm immersed in it. You guys are more immersed in it, probably than most of our listeners. But our listeners see the cable news. They see some of the social media. You know, my commitment to Sunday Take listeners is that they're having a cup of coffee, getting a little smarter. They're understanding the mood of Minnesota. This is the volatility around this past week and the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the emotions of the Annunciation shooting, the voices within your own parties, including Governor Walz and President Trump. What do you want to send listeners away with? What message do you want them to understand about the work of you as legislators that maybe doesn't make headlines, maybe, you know, how you help your colleagues maybe tone down the rhetoric? And Representative Nadeau, I'll start with you.
Yeah, if I had the answer to toning down the rhetoric, we would be doing it. I think people are afraid on both sides. I think we've kind of an unstable political environment today where it's this Machiavellian approach that we can do and say anything as long as it gets clicks and likes and it whips up people. I think it's going to boil down to I thought about this after our friend Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed and Senator Hoffman were shot, and it was like how do we, that was very close, and you know, at that point I decided that we're going to individually, each of us are going to have to, you know, intentionally decide that number one, we're not going to participate, number two, you know, we are going to call out, you know, those people that we, you know, it's easy to disagree with people on the opposite side. That's easy, but it's a little bit more difficult to disagree with people, you know, in your own party. But I think we have a responsibility to do that. And, as elected officials, as human beings, you know, each of us have a choice to make every time something like that comes up, as difficult, as heartbreaking as some of these things are, as frightening as some of these things are, I think it's going to boil down to our individual efforts that are going to ratchet that down. And I think that's what I try to do. I think a lot of my friends, you know, try to do it as well. I mean, I think part of it has to do with, you know, maybe the districts we're in, but I don't look at this issue just because my district is more evenly balanced versus someone else's. You know, I think that we as human beings, regardless if you're in a strong Democrat area, a strong Republican area, or a mixed area like mine, I think that people want to see us work together to try to, you know, we don't have to solve it, but they want to see us work together and move in the right direction. And I think that's the key to being able to start having these discussions within our party and within our neighborhood.
Senator Seeberger, same question. I mean, other than modeling the behavior yourself, how can you help your colleagues tone down the rhetoric or find a different way of talking about these issues that doesn't inflame so many people?
You know, that's a question I've been asking myself. And I mean, you mentioned modeling behavior. I think that goes a long way. It's not in my nature to be to try to upset people or to be provocative or to be inflammatory with my language. It just isn't in my nature. It's not something that I do. It's not something I'm comfortable with. Other folks feel differently and express themselves in different ways. I don't know that I think continuing to encourage human-to-human contact, building trust, working together where we can. A lot of my message is that we agree on a whole lot more than we disagree on. And maybe it's time to start focusing on those areas where we agree and start to build some trust and build some work on policies where we can agree and find the common ground between us. That's sort of been my guiding principle, and particularly right now where we seem to be fixated on the things that divide us rather than the things that unite us.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining me on Sunday Take. I know this is going to be a discussion we continue. I know both of you will be at the heart of it, and I appreciate you guys sharing your perspectives with our listeners.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks.
When we come back, this week's take is about being shared. Share this take with friends and others. Others who are getting upset, others who are posting, others who are overreacting, underreacting. It's time to take a deep breath. When the news of the day gets you upset, don't post. Reflect. When the issue of the other side makes you angry, pause, take a deep breath, and reflect. Sure, share it in conversations amongst friends, but we do not need to be public in sharing our emotions because it only gives fodder to the other side. And that's from the left or from the right. It doesn't matter which side you're on. When you post, you're just creating more noise and debate in this dysfunction that we are considering dialogue right now. When you want to mock somebody, pause. When you want to criticize somebody, pause. Criticizing policy, debating policy is something that we all need to do. I did it with friends this weekend. And by the way, we were all fine and friends afterwards. But we didn't do it just for the reaction. We did it to try to understand and to try to know each other and see where the other one's coming from. We didn't have to put it on Instagram. We didn't have to put it on X. So I think that's what I want this shareable take to be. Look, these are emotional, volatile times. But if your first reaction is to go to Instagram or Facebook or X to criticize the other side or to horribly wish ill upon the other side or say that somebody deserves something, look at yourself in the mirror. Take a deep breath. You are contributing to what is inching closer and closer to what many believe will be a civil war. It's clearly a civil war in social media. And more so, if we have elected officials who are contributing to that locally, nationally, statewide, call them out, especially if they're in your own party. Call them out for mocking the other side, because we should deserve more from our elected officials. Now, I recognize that there's not a great role model in the White House for that. But everybody seems to have accepted that that's okay, including our own governor. Politicians are famous for saying one thing and doing another. Leave that to them. But as neighbors and Minnesotans, we have a long year ahead of us. We have healing. We have policy changes, we have policy debates, we have an election. So take a deep breath. Get away from the social, get away from the TV news. Go for a walk. Hang out with friends and family. Because if you're a real political observer and you really live and breathe this stuff, it's becoming so unhealthy that it doesn't do any good. It's not helping yourself. It's not helping our country. It's not helping our state. Get away from it and take a deep breath. That's this week's take. You can follow along at thedailyagenda.com. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 Monday through Thursday. Sign up for any of our newsletters, tip sheets, and share this with friends. Thedailyagenda.com. I'm Blois. Until next week, that's the take.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.